You're listening to the Adoption and Fostering Podcast from Misadventures of an Adoptive Dad.
Hello, welcome to the 22nd edition of the podcast. This week's a little bit different. Scott and I have both had a busy few months, so we're taking a short break over the summer. Scott is no doubt in some Prosecco pod, oxygenated, laying by a pool, enjoying himself no end. I've been decorating, such is the difference in our lifestyles. Anywho, this week we're going to put out the second half of the Child and Parent Violence talk that we did for We Are Family at the beginning of July. Now, as I mentioned in the last one, we've cut out a few bits and bobs here and there, just really to protect people's confidentiality, because those bits are usually people asking questions and maybe highlighting issues in their own lives and their own experience, which would identify them, which they probably didn't sign up for when they turned up. I hope you enjoy it, and we'll probably be back in a couple of weeks after we've recovered and recuperated. And I hope you all enjoy your summer. Thanks very much. Bye-bye. Oh, nearly forgot. If you fancy going over to iTunes, you can leave a review for us, and that would be much appreciated. Okay, here's the podcast. We talked about taboos, and what I think is really interesting is that actually, from a social care point of view as well, if we don't tell, no one can help. So I think that... Come in, why don't you? Seamless transition back into the room there. And I think I don't want you to think that I'm a social work basher, because I am a social worker, and I think we get a bum rap, and I think that we do a lot with a little. And I've actually had some fantastic social workers. I've had social workers who've done... There's a social worker who kind of stepped into the breach when we were at our lowest ebb, when I was talking about the 6 months, and came up with some really common sense and said, this is a thing. So please don't feel that if you're a social worker in the room, I'm not a social work basher.
I don't think either of us are, and we should address it, because actually we both work with social workers. You are a social worker. I work with him. He's a social worker. In general, social workers are good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Yeah.
Right. So, 2014, I wrote a blog, because I'm a blogger, and I was cross. I'd had this experience of talking to my social worker, who was actually really empathic. She said, but I cannot give you permission to restrain your child. It's just the council's policy. I can't do it, but give me some good advice. And I was really frustrated, and I wrote this blog saying, oh, I'm very angry, because what am I going to do? How am I going to manage? What am I going to do? And my phone just smoke started to come out the back of it. People going, yes, that's me. Can I tell you my story? People emailing me in direct messages. And I realised that actually, you know, I thought, well, this is a thing. This is a thing. A lot of people feel really passionate about this. And that maintains my most read blog on my blog, but most read post on my blog. So at the end of last year, I kind of thought, actually, looking at social media, reading social media, seeing lots of people talking but not really knowing how to talk to their police, how to talk to their GP, or talking to their GP and the GP going, well, it's probably just a phase, or, you know, some not necessarily helpful responses, but people desperate, saying, I'm getting responses, but they're not fixing anything. I'm desperate, and we talked about that. This is how I feel, the impact on me. So I thought, I'm going to do a survey and just find out. So I thought, how do you do a survey? and I'm no technical whiz. So you go on and you just do a survey. So I did that, and I got some wisdom around the questions. But I'm not an academic, and I'm not a researcher. So in the fullness of time, it's become clear that it's not as good as it could be. But it's a start point for a conversation. And I think sometimes, you know, in my defence, he said, this is me back again. I think sometimes academic research can be just too inaccessible, whereas mine's very accessible. And ask really basic questions. Who's experienced it? So it's self-selecting. Only the people who experienced it answered. But within a few hours, I had 270 people saying, that's me. And I went, oh, well, actually, I had to upgrade my SurveyMonkey thing, because I got free up to 10 responses. And I was free up to 50 responses, and I thought, oh, that'll be fine. But after about 30 minutes, I went, flames and brimstone, I'm going to have to spend 20 quid here. So I got unlimited responses and got that many. So basically,
That included, that went out to 224 doctors, 17 foster carers, 15 birth parents, 7 special guardians, 2 kinship carers and 2 other family members. So that's the pool that my Twitter feed fishes in. So we didn't ask birth parents particularly because they don't listen to me for all the obvious reasons. Next one. But you can make of that what you will. But that's a lot of people, isn't it? Yeah. Even if that's nationally, that's an issue. But that's just the people who are on Twitter and the people who agree with my definition. And I thought, do you know what? One of the things that I don't get in anything I can read, and when I Google it, it's about adolescent parent violence. So I thought, but that's not my experience. And when I talk to people like Hannah, hannahmeadows.com, they talk about different age ranges. So I said, so is it 0 to 5 that you experience it? 6 to 11, 12 to 17. So 0 to 5, nearly 40% of people said, that's us. I thought, oh. And there was a moment where I thought, I'm the first person to ever discover that. And I felt quite grand. and then I went, right, and so we see here, 70% of people said actually 6 to 11. And then we see it drop down to the lowest figure in adolescence. All the literature is about adolescence. Everything you can see is about adolescence. And everyone can go, oh, I understand that. Frustrated teenager, mum says, you're going out in that dress. Well, I am going out in that effing dress. All that kind of stuff, you know, to window up my home life. But she's only 11. She didn't say effing. And I thought, actually, that's really significant. Why does it go down in adolescence? Well, I don't know. Any ideas?
I think maybe brain more like developed in a child.
Yeah, could be that. Could be a change in the child as they go into adolescence. There's a change in brain development, isn't there? There's a chance of children moving. And I thought to myself, I wonder if it's people actually, people who get past this point, work out how to survive. And is it as simple as that? The people actually, if they get to 11, they've hodgepodged kind of crazy parenting techniques together. They've done a bit of Pace and a bit of Dan and a bit of Perry and a bit of this and a bit of that, and they've kind of found a way around it. Or they just kind of go, I don't mind you calling me an effing idiot anymore, I'm just putting my head in the sand.
Rubble on there, I think.
Yeah.
And there's also, there's...
Because it's a very small pool as well, isn't it? You know, yeah. Some the people that have, you know, like you say, people who've answered the survey are very kind of, you know.
But I'd
agree with you because just what you were saying there about the size of a child as well. And I think that for us, we've not had any kind of huge interventions, but what we've done is we've tried to manage it ourselves and we've also kind of accepted some of the behaviours as well, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I, like I say, a very small pool.
I would say my incidence of violence with my 3-year-old, that's now a 12-year-old, are much less. But that's mainly because I've gone on 1,000,000,000 courses. And actually, I've learned that when my daughter slams my door, I don't go after her. Whereas my parenting instinct is to go, slam my door. You know, my mother would have. I won't tell you what my mother would have done. I would have not done that. And so my instinct is to go, right, I'm going to go through and I'm going to say, da-da-da-da-da-da. And now I've gone, if I do da-da-da-da-da-da, we'll end up with... Mm. I also moved to a house that's down a kilometre down a track. You're laughing. I moved house a kilometre down a track because I know, whereas in the past I've gone, you can't go out in your pyjamas in the dark at 11 years old. And now I've gone. So there's no fight. And I know that she'll get maybe 500 metres from the house and the only thing she'll encounter is a horse.
Horses.
Yeah. And so I can watch her with my binoculars. So that is my experience. There's a hand going up. Yeah. Having said that, that's still pretty shocking, isn't it? That people are saying, you know, that's a taboo. Would you tell anyone that you're struggling with your 4-year-old to that point?
Yeah, I kind of want to make a something for that. Because I think a lot of people with younger children that are also being battered. It's one thing is if it happens when it's 11 and they're bigger, but I think the damage that a 4-year-old can do is still a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that is a huge taboo to say, my little kid who I can pick up, I know they're only 20 kilos and I am twice as big, can do this. So So I think it's wonderful that you have highlighted this, and I hope that other people will come out saying that. Yeah, and that's not to undermine that it's, you know, you all can throw another punch, but it's
I think that's, I work with a foster carer who's 5, and when he kicks off, I lock myself in my room. He's 5, and I find it really quite odd because I want to go, well, he's 5, and then I go, no, stop for a second, think this through, because actually what you're saying is this is not a 5-year-old tantrum, this is something else, this is beyond that, it's a step beyond. And so I find myself on the cusp of about to say, well, all children do that, and then I go, well, that's an inappropriate thing to do in a child-to-parent violence thing. I mean, you're allowed to slap yourself, aren't you? That's all good. Next slide.
I was just going to say, on the back of, you know, it's all very well Al moving a kilometre down the track when, you know, where there's nice fields in Northumbria. I live in a town. We don't have that kind of freedom, and it's about the preparation in your head of, right, and we do literally follow a process when he starts kicking off. So it's right, where's the keys? We lock the front door. We lock the back door. We take the keys, we hang them up so that, you know, to keep him safe. That is not the, you know, that's not him kind of punching and beating us, but that's the preparation we have to do to make sure that he doesn't, because he has done. He's done it twice. He's run with no socks, no shoes. I don't feel guilty about taking those measures. I think that actually we had to take those measures. And if that results in him doing a little bit more damage to us or something, then that's fine, because actually I'm keeping him safe. Yeah.
And that's a really good point, because how many times have we put ourselves in harm's way?
Yeah.
Because we thought, this is better than this spilling out into the street. It was a mad November night when I wrote these questions. What is the impact it's had on your family? Not being no impact and 5 being significant. People said, actually, it's about 4. That's a big deal. Move on, because we're killing time. You can't see this at the back, but it said, 150 people said it's had an impact on relationships within the family. 100 people, employment. So, I mean, that's my experience. Mm-hmm. It may not be as extreme as me kind of going into my boss and saying, I don't know what to do. I'm going home. It may be that you can't take the job you need, or you need a job that's flexible, or a job where your employer's kind of compassionate and gives you a bit of time off and lets you run out when you need to run out. Finances, which is a job. But actually, if you need to, you know, your telly's broke, you need to fix it. Need to fix your telly.
Yeah. Or you've got a hole in the door because you punched it. You know, that's all affecting the finances, isn't it?
And health. Over 200 people said, actually, this has really impacted on my health. And health could be physical and mental, emotional health. So this is kind of breaking it down a little bit. Someone cleverer than me did this, Dr. Wendy. She said that mental, emotional health, 100% of adopters said, actually, this has had an impact on me. Mental health and relationships, 68%, and employment, financial, 44% for adopters. Kinship carers and foster carers are in there as well. This is like where it gets really down into the data, as they say. I don't know what that means, but they tell me. And this is where there was a box at the end, and I said, what? Well, tell me some things. Tell me what sort of impact. And people have said, bruises and scars, no support, family and friends don't understand, excluded from school. Social worker reported us to child protection after asking for help. That's 2 people. Charged from allegations. Loss of confidence. Scared of child. Violence to sibling. Trying to find a flashpoint. Child protection didn't believe. No support. Isolation. The child's mental health. Ability to fit into school and society. Issues for the future. And we're all worried for our future, children's future, physical health, loss of trust in capacity to function as a parent, which is people saying, I don't know, am I a parent? Can I do this? Family breakdown. I'm on Twitter enough to see people saying, she's left, he's left, they can't do it anymore, won't do it anymore. And you go, whoa. Breakdown of placement and adoption, which is relatively small. That's 3% as a national figure. But still, 3% is... What's that of? What's
3%.
3%, isn't it? An effect on siblings. Another one, which is... Because I think that one of the problems with therapeutic approaches is that they're great until one child is hitting another child. Because then you've got to do something, haven't you? And you can kind of do the Dan Hughes. I know you feel angry right now. You don't. You kind of, you go, get off.
But is that any different to anybody else's childhood in here who had a sibling? Because I know that me and my brother used to beat the absolute crap out of each other. So is it because of this, or is it just because they're being siblings? And I guess that, you know, that's something that we kind of have to wrestle with every day as parents.
Yeah. But I think children whose siblings who've perhaps come through the care system sometimes have really complex relationships, you know, trauma bonds where the children kind of reminisce, you know, they trigger each other, jealousies that are, you know, I mean, like siblings have burning rivalries. Ultimately, all of the literature, and I say that unreservedly, is around adolescent to parent violence. But there's not a lot. I'm not talking about books upon books upon books, because there's not. There's not very many books at all. Helen Bonnick, there's a fantastic website called Holes in the Wall, and Helen has put together lots of resources for child-to-parent violence. But academically, again, but then they're behind firewalls, like Julie Selwyn's research. It's behind the paywall. Well, that's neither use nor ornament to us, is it? You know, you can do all, you know, one of the arguments I had about with this was, you know, this is ropey research, but it's kind of getting, it's moving the conversation along. And I could have still been writing it now, academically approved, you know, peer reviewed, and then it would have gone behind a firewall, a paywall. That's neither use nor ornament. It is a significant area for concern, because if we're saying a third of adopters experience it, actually, that's a big deal, isn't it? It's a lot of people. And I think there is an element of victim blaming, people saying, well, actually, what are you doing? And even within families, you know, parents and aunties and siblings saying, well, they're fine for me. What's the big deal? You know, when I take them out for ice cream, we don't have any problems. And you go, yeah, you're taking them out for flipping ice cream. Of course you've got any problems. Can't live like that.
Do you not give your children ice cream, you cruel, cruel man? All I can say.
Well, it's true. One of our strategies is we tend to feed her. We find it really soothing and relaxes her, and it's a focus.
Yeah.
So one of our strategies is to go, she'll, you know, say, are you hungry? In the middle, she'll go, oh, and I go, are you hungry? Yeah.
Hangry, that's called hangry. There is a word for that, it's called hangry. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. There you go, see, you learned something from me tonight.
I'll write that down. Yeah. And this is where we get to kind of the tricky bit. When reporting the CPEV, child-to-parent violence, did you feel the response you received was helpful? You gave away too much. I should play poker with you, shouldn't I? 70% of people said no.
Which probably fit with your police example, isn't it?
Yeah. You know. 30% of people said yes, though. So actually, the question is, what was that response? How helpful was that response? I think that sometimes one of the key features of this, I think, is the taboo. I think that the minute you pop the bubble of the taboo, people feel better. Because if you sit people in a room and say, actually, this is a thing and it's happening for me, the person next to you goes, yeah, me too, actually. And that doesn't necessarily help you with what's going to happen that night or those kind of situations, but actually, for your mental health and your emotional well-being, you can go, I'm not alone. There is someone else. And you know, you were going to talk about peer support, aren't you? Because I think that's something you're very passionate about.
Yeah.
This is the people who responded. Social care. So 166 people went to social care because that's your natural response, isn't it? You got your children through a social worker, so go back to your social worker. Health, so that's GPs, maybe the school nurse. If the health visitor, if their children are really young. Police, 46% went to police, but again, that's a delicate issue, isn't it? Sometimes it's got really extreme before you go to police, because you fear for yourself, or you fear for your property, or you fear for your child. Education, actually talking to your teacher at the school door, and other. So, next one. This is where it gets really complicated again. Looking at people who'd actually went to more than one place. So the first one is people who'd gone to social care, health and the police. So about 20 people did. Social health and education, so that was more.
Because kind of, oftentimes we see the teacher. You know, I've often sort of brought my daughter to school in a state, and I've been in a state, kind of going, you'll never guess how we got here today. It's like, you know, the school run was sponsored by the Four Horsemen of the Apocalypse. It was, you know, it's like Ben-Hur chariot race to school. It's like, and then they walk into school, and you're going, no, and I've literally, I mean, Paula, the good Mrs. C, you know, the amount of time she's been in tears, and sometimes I remember being shaking, thinking, where did all that come from? So sometimes you go to the teacher, you'll never guess. And they never do guess. Sometimes they do. We're up to, I'm rubbish with colours, I'm colourblind. Where I'm up to, which one's that? That one, that one.
Third one.
Yeah. Social, healthcare, education and police. So people predominantly have gone for more than one option because people are desperate, aren't they? You kind of, you go to the teacher and the teacher goes, you don't get what you need. So you go to the police and it's not quite what you need and you go to social care. So there's a picture of people who are really desperate, and I think that that reflects how we feel about it. This is some things that people have said, so can people read them? Is that a bit, it's a bit daglo?
Yeah, it's
a bit
very rare, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So some of the comments up there are belief that the CPV could be true, believe the parents and not blame them, professionals prepared to listen, accept it happens, and being empathetic to it would be a good start. To be believed for victim support after assault. Someone said anything at this point. Quick response to a cry for help. Acknowledge that it happens, that you're not the only family going through this. Which is really, you know, that's our personal experience as well. In there at some time as well.
That's them in proper words, so just can click on. appropriate response. Talks about ethical preparation. And the government have given out lots of money to approve adopters. And that's, you know, organisations have been set up to approve adopters. I'd be really careful, aren't I? I'm recording it, I don't know why. It's not like I'm going to accidentally send it in my sleep.
No.
But I think that there's got to be questions that perhaps we can do it better. But I have to say, I've given preparation groups as a professional, and I know for a fact people only hear what they want to hear. Yeah. Right? I've sat in so many groups where I've said, you know, this can be really difficult, and they've gone, yeah. Tell me the story about when you were a kid. No. This can be, and people want that Walton moment. People have come to adoption for lots of different reasons.
Just out of interest, if anybody wants to put their hand up to this, how many people who have adopted or have gone through the process sat through some of the preparation course thinking, well, when I get my kids, it's not going to be like that? Yeah. So some of us did, didn't we? You know, because yeah. I think we do. We like to think that we can actually make an impact on our children. But actually, sometimes, through no fault of ours, through no fault of our children, and the support that we get, we just, you know, it's not the way it's built.
People want to make informed decisions, and I think that's why I kind of said adoption is not. It is. It's enough that questions the people who come forward for adoption that we've got to be. You know, that I look at some websites that promote adoption, and I go, "That's good." Yeah, of course I'm cynical and jaded, and I'm one of the three out of the ten, but there's still another seven. You know, there is a seven as well. So. It's getting that balance and giving people informed choices, like you were saying, you know, yeah. Can we wait questions to end?
We've got 10 minutes left.
We've got 10 minutes, yeah.
Marie-Lise has been quite strict with me now.
She's been stern.
You've got 10 minutes.
Stern. The man come with a broom.
Yeah.
Gets us out. Professional awareness around the knowledge and causes and impacts to be an essential element of continual professional development. Yeah. But actually, I think that it's something that I, as a professional, need to know more about. And this gap in knowledge, it needs to be a gap that's filled. And that's not individual social workers' fault. You know, you get sent on the courses you get sent on as a social worker. So it's developing the knowledge of the workforce and equipping the workforce so that actually they can help adopters make informed decisions.
Interventions. We've got 10 minutes on interventions. Yeah, that was badly planned, wasn't it? You do support.
Huh?
Do support groups.
What, support groups?
Yeah, do support.
I was just going to say that the effectiveness of the interventions as well. You know, we've all probably heard of some of these, all of these, maybe. We've maybe attended some. Sorry? What's Triple PL?
It's just... parenting program. That's the first P.
I've already done that.
That's it, positive, go. Yeah.
Positive parenting program.
Which is a kind of a therapeutic parenting model, which kind of gives you an informed understanding of children's behaviour.
There's different levels with these as well. And for me, and I'll just put this out there, the introduction to NVR is probably the thing that saved us as a family. It wasn't the NVR full training, wasn't the whole, you know, 6-10 sessions. Yeah, it was just an introduction. That's all it was. But that really helped us. And the thing that sticks in my head is, the shit sandwich. And I use a shit sandwich day in, day out. I even use it on owls sometimes as well. I say, yeah, that's really good, but, you know, and then on the end. But that really worked for us. And I'm not saying that worked for everybody, but what I'm saying is that really, really, just going along to 6 hours of an introduction to NVR really helped us. Mm-hmm. And it was free as well, which was even better. But there's lots of different kind of, you know, there's lots of different organisations doing all this stuff, and they're all really good, or the majority are really good, yeah? But the last one, for me, is really important, actually, because we've come here tonight to talk to you guys, yeah? The majority of you are doctors. The peer support that we can get from each other through even doing all the rest of it is what actually takes away that pressure. For me, anyway, I don't know about how you feel, but yeah. Being able to stand and talk about it, or being able to say on Twitter that, you know, actually this happened, or to write in a blog, you know, you might not agree with being so public about it, but that's my life, and if that's my decision to be like that. But doing that and actually having one person say, "I'm with you," yeah, they don't have to say any more than that. Actually, it means a lot, and there's a lot of kind of peer support groups that have been formed out of the NVR stuff and the PACE and the Triple P, yeah? And they're supportive as well. That's what's important as well. On top of all the other interventions is the support that you can give yourselves. Now, tonight we've heard some different stories, and, you know, I'm going to refer to your police story. I just got so much that, you know, I want to help you with, but where do we start? Do you know what I mean? But the fact that we're here, I hope that makes just the tiniest little bit difference, because actually, you know, being able to say that out loud and someone actually not saying, well, have you tried this, have you tried that, have you tried that, well, you need to have a chat with that policeman and sort them out, kind of thing, because we know that that's not always the case. So, but peer, all the time for me.
There was one thing on the last slide that time's escaped us, but I think that teams of people are probably the thing that is most effective, is they take what you can from who you can.
Yeah.
So if that's my mate Scott, who will talk to me and he'll say, oh, you should, you know, yeah, it's crap. Yeah, I know you're wound up beyond all measure because you'd be called an effing so-and-so. I can talk to Scott in a full and frank manner in a way that I wouldn't necessarily talk to a GP. I can tell him in a different way. We as a family have found that actually having a really collaborative relationship with the school, the school know exactly what's going on at home. Having a really supportive link into CAMS. Not one of these can fix the problem, but actually I'm plugging the gaps of my life, right, at school. I've got a group of other adults, you know, we've got outside of our home, we've got other adults who really help us, who really get it. And it's building a team around the child. Because one of the frustrations my social worker has, I am allocated at the moment, is that actually the minute things settle down, her manager says to her, I can't hold you as a case anymore because things are going okay. You go, but actually I want supervision. I want to be able to kind of ring you every 6 weeks and go, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. She said this, she said that, and this incident happened. Can you just record that somewhere? Just kind of, so there's this corporate narrative so that like the machine, the social work machine, the social care, know the story. So actually she said, my manager said I can't keep a case. And I said, how about I just email you things that happen? And she went, yeah, we'll do that. And I'll just keep popping them in. And it's not a case. And she said, all I have to do is, you know, just pop them into the file. And that really helps, because then actually when things do unravel or things get to a point where we need help again, we can say, yeah, but this is part of a story. It's not me just going, oh, by the way, things are difficult today. It's going, yeah, but this is a story.
So I just asked, does your watch work? Because we've got like 90 seconds left, so...
All right, okay.
A couple of minutes. A couple of minutes.
Julie Selwyn's research beyond the adoption order is kind of considered to be the keystone to our knowledge of contemporary adoption. In her recommendations, she said that CPV was linked to a third of adoption breakdowns, that we need to raise awareness within the profession, and we need to develop not just knowledge of what the interventions are, but how effective they are, and we need to find the gaps. Some work has been done that in 2015, but I think that's why we're out today. That's the only reason, because we don't have all the solutions, but it's kind of we're raising awareness. Go back to your social worker and say, can we talk about child-to-parent violence? Because it's a thing. Any closing comments, really? The slight frustration is that we don't have the answer. If you came for an answer, I'm really sorry. Even if you came and expected me to go, da-da! And I think that there's a slide there that said family systems, and children live within systems, and so we're all unique numbers of where you live, how you work, how you care for each other, all impact on children. So we all need unique responses. There's not one size fits all. And I think you hinted at you take a bit of this one, because that works in that emergency. Yeah. We take a bit of Dan Hughes.
Yeah.
And take a bit of what my gran would say. Give her a hot chocolate.
You know? I was going to say give her a good clout. Okay. No. That's what my gran would have said.
Oh, I can imagine. slides will be available.